The pastoral gifts that lead, organize, and facilitate ministry through small groups are vital for the local church. Relational connectivity provides strength, protection, and flexibility for congregations. Today, we talk about overcoming difficulties in small group ministry, components of leading small group ministry, and practical next steps for building the local church through small groups. It's all right here, right now, on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Good morning. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. It's the last week of June. It seems like the summer of 24 is rolling on with the longest day of the year behind us, but there's still a whole lot of living in front of us to do. We have a full summer. We have July 4th just around the corner. And Charles and I have one of the highlights of our year going to the Dominican Republic and working with pastors there. We have two conferences scheduled, two different parts of the country. Today, we've got 17 episodes behind us on the Five Gifts Podcast. This is number 18. Charles, I'm hearing you had a great weekend in the northeastern part of the state. Tell us what you can about your weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a phenomenal day here on the northeast part of North Carolina, preaching for a mutual friend of ours, and honored to be invited by him, he and his wife, to come and minister their congregation. And reconnect with some friends that attend church there as well. And man, I'm telling you, we had church. Nobody else may have liked it, but I had church, and the congregation really engaged with the presence of the Lord, and I believe a lot of people were touched by Jesus in the room. So it was a great day. And then last night I was able to attend the historic Eastern North Carolina Assembly of God camp meeting at Windsor, North Carolina. So that was my first time to attend that, and it was great. Sawmill floors, wooden benches, and mosquitoes and gnats, but more than in heat. But more than that, it was just being together with the people of God and just participating in a tradition for this region in our state, but just experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God just moving in us and among us and through us. It was a great experience for sure. One that I will hold dear in my heart. It was a great time, great thing to be a part of. So yeah, so that was my weekend, and here we are on the podcast. So looking forward to a great discussion, learning some new things about small groups and relational connectivity and all those things that really flow along in the lines of the pastoral gifts that Christ has given to his church.
Well, we're back on small groups today, talking about that shift moving from being a church with small groups to being a church of small groups. And we noted the importance of those relational connections that are natural in the local church, but it does take some focused leadership to work to leverage those and begin to move those into some really dynamic forms of ministry. There's nothing more essential, I think, in the body of Christ than that relational connectedness. And we laid down some theology surrounding small group ministry and how important that is. But when we talk about small group ministry, we are talking about, in essence, relating. It's being a community. It's the sharing. It's the ministry that happens between people connected. So, Charles, we're going to be talking about some difficulties today. Anything that you want to preview before we get into it?
Well, there are some difficulties certainly in small group ministry. But I think the root of it and the heart of it is that it's working and it's dealing with people. And so people are difficult. And so so that, you know, there may be a pastor, there may be a leader who's listening to that, and they may be thinking or have some thoughts kind of swirling in their mind that says, you know what, we've tried small groups or we've tried to go down this path of connecting people, and people just haven't cooperated, or our small group system, we get it up and running and it just seems at a certain point to collapse. And I just want to say, you know, if that's you, you're in good company, because I think anyone who's tried to lead and who's tried to organize the church through relational connectivity has experienced these difficulties we're going to talk about. And a big part of that is because it's people. People are hard to lead. And so just the encouragement would be, don't give up. Keep trying. Keep working. Keep sharpening your skills. There may be something in this episode that sparks some creativity or a new thought. And I would just say, work through the difficulties, because relationships in the church and the body of Christ is the ingredient. It is a key. So don't give up on relationships. In fact, push relationships to the forefront of how you're leading the church. And so hopefully today we'll give some inspiration and some practical thoughts and steps in how to overcome some difficulties and put some practical plans into place. Well, as we lead small group ministry in the church, there's some difficulties that are involved, some things that we're going to have to overcome. And Bruce, could you talk to us a little bit? What are some of those hurdles or obstacles, or we might even say difficulties, that can hinder us if we're not careful in leading the church through small groups?
Yeah. Well, you know, Charles, last episode, we spent a lot of time talking about those relationships that happen. We have relationship with God and we have relationship with people. And that seems to be the outcome of coming to Christ. It is not just being reconciled with God, but it's being baptized into his body. And so the real essence of Christianity is relationships, and those relationships get to happen, I think, in by nature in smaller group relationships. I'm not talking about a small group ministry. I'm just saying that you think about your own church, you're connected to people dynamically, organically, on the areas of interest, in areas of experience, in areas of preferences. And of course, that's going to maybe take the shape of a Sunday school class, a small group topical study, a volunteer function in the local church. And so when we think about those relationships happening, there are some things that can happen dynamically there, like love, nurturing, sharing that takes place. You know, we share our testimonies, we share our prayer requests, we share our triumphs and our challenges, and those relationships bring an inherent accountability in them, because we've become vulnerable. We're starting to share life with others. But you know, on a church level, I think, especially today, because churches can tend to move into what I call a CEO mindset, where you know, things are happening because a leader is trying to activate things on a missional level. And I think that presents itself some barriers. And so when a leader in the local church is, you know, looking at their church and thinking, well, we need those kind of connections, how can we activate that? I think one of the barriers that seems to come up are those internal barriers in the leader that make the difficulties for those vital expressions of dynamic, life-giving relationships in the congregation that can happen dynamically if they have a little initiation from the pastor or the leader. So I've thought about a few shifts that can take place. A lot of times churches or church leaders, they often regard the church from a sanctuary or pulpit perspective, almost a top-down perspective. And so we're thinking of, you know, I may be the leader of my church at the top, you know, and I'm responsible for initiating and leading, But I can't drive the church relationally just from that managerial position, from that leadership position. Yeah. And so I have to find ways of empowering other leaders to help in that that small group dynamic in the local church. And then I think another difficulty is that things like the programming of the church, the building and the facilities, mm-hmm. our doctrinal statement, the planning of our worship activities, on the church calendar, they tend to take the focus rather than what are the relationships that we're hoping to build out of that. And so those become our priorities. And gosh, you know, as a pastoral leader, I understand how important it is to focus on budgeting and staffing and trying to keep, you know, yourself in a position. I guess the old adage, the cutting edge. I'm always afraid of the cutting edge. I feel like something dangerous is going to happen. But as a leader, you know, there's a pressure to stay out front and to keep things current, you know, culturally mm-hmm. in your church. And sometimes that can just dominate your agenda rather than really investing in that relational format of ministry. And then I think another difficulty is that those existing relationships in the church tend to stay disconnected when we don't give attention to some structural elements that allow for it, that empower it. And, you know, again, because we're given so much attention to those managerial components of the church or mm-hmm. or its organizational structure, we don't always help that relational connectedness to happen. And then maybe another one, and this is the last one I'll talk about this morning, but I think leaders fall into the trap of this perception where small groups function as a program of the church, mm-hmm. where we think of, again, it's that old mindset of we are a church that has small groups. You put it on our website. These are our small groups. This is how we do small groups. And so it can become a very demanding ministry that we put a lot of programming energy into rather than putting in place the dynamics that help it flourish relationally. Mm-hmm. And so if we're talking about difficulties, those would be the four that I've addressed this morning.
Yeah. So what I'm kind of hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing you talking about is that we're not programming relationships in the church. We're asking pastors and we're asking churches to prioritize relationships. So to move from programming to prioritize it. And you know, you pastor, I've been in pastoral ministry, and certainly, like you said, there's budgeting, there's planning, there's all these things that have to take place. But I think what we're saying is that we have to elevate, we have to prioritize relationships above kind of the day-to-day rhythm of managing or stewarding a church. Is that a fair statement or fair listening?
Absolutely.
What you're talking about?
Absolutely. Certainly. I think of there was a time early on in pastoral ministry and I had developed a mentoring program, and I spent hours and hours, mm-hmm. you know, putting together a curriculum for a men's mentoring discipleship group. And I remember I had it, you know, in my Word document. I had the notes for the student or the mm-hmm. protege. I had the leader's notes. I had it all fleshed out. It was a stellar program. But what I didn't focus on enough was that relationship building that puts mm-hmm. that kind of ministry in place. And so while there's, I think, even to this day, good content, I relied on good sources and putting that together. But I didn't focus enough on building the mentors and their relational skills. And something I'm even learning in coaching is that man, the process of coaching is one thing, but the relationship of coaching is demanding more than for me than just being a good organizer. Mm-hmm. It takes those interpersonal skills. And I think wherever as a church, you know, we step into helping people relate better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not so, I'm not saying that it's not important to train people to teach and to, and to organize, but I think one of the missing things that happens in churches is we don't teach people how to relate.
Mm.
So I know we're going to get into that, especially, you know, what we, you know, there's a term we use, Charles, in our podcast called divine urgencies.
Mm-hmm.
These are the priorities of leadership. And so why don't you talk to us about those divine urgencies when it comes to small group ministry?
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing would really kind of dovetail with what we're talking about now, and with prioritizing relationships. And it would just be that oftentimes as church leaders, we get so caught up in, we get so far in the weeds or so caught up in the business or the day-to-day operational phase of leading a church that we can continue unaware that we've got to recognize connections and begin to network the body of Christ in each local church. And so, and it's going to look different in every local church because every local church is different. But at some point we've got to address that, and we'll talk about some ways to address these urgencies. And when we say urgencies, we're talking about the things. These are the pressing needs or pressing problems. These are the gaps in our leadership. And so if you're struggling in a church of being relationally connected, this urgency may be present in your church. There may not be a recognition. There may not be an awareness in the church that hey, listen, as pastor, as leader, I've got to begin to build connections. I've got to begin to network the relationships that are existing already in this body, and begin to, with some urgency, with some focus, with some priority, begin to network and connect relationships in this body. Secondly, I think that another kind of gap, another hole in our leadership would be that there's no urgency within the church leadership regarding the detached and disconnected body of Christ. How many churches could we walk in and begin to see that, you know, if we stay there long enough, we'll begin to discover, all right, there are a number of relationships in this church that are existing and that are formed, but they're not connected together. And so, so we would say, if we walked in as a consultant and saw that dynamic in play, one of the first things we would say is, all right, look, there are relationships here, but no one's taking initiative. There's no urgency. There's no priority to begin to move in and connect the body. The body exists on a weekly basis here, but it is not connected. And some of the things that some of the symptoms or indicators you can begin to discover is the church is weak. The church, there's not a sense of protection within the church, protection for members. There's not a sense of safety. Yes, this is a church I come and worship, but it's not a place of refuge that I can find in times of trouble. And I think a big indicator that the church is disconnected is the church is rigid when conflict arises in the church. And listen, when one of my favorite quotes on conflict is, man, I've got to remember the author, but he said, where two or three are gathered, conflict is also in their midst. And so, listen, if you've got more than two or three in the church, at some point conflict's going to come. But if But if the church is networked with relationships, there's flexibility and there's mobility. There's an ability to adapt and to flex and work through, you know, conflict that comes. And so, but if the church is rigid, that's a good indicator, a good sign that this body is not connected. So again, we would just urge pastors, take a moment and look at the church and just be honest. We all have to kind of take that helicopter view and look over the life of the church, kind of try to step out of the weeds and take an aerial view that says, where are the relationships forming and how can I best begin to connect them and network this church through relationships? Then finally, we'll just say this about a divine urgency. Either there's no plan that's in place to connect or network churches. Again, and the end result of this kind of planning or this kind of work would be there's protection, there's need satisfying ministries as a result of putting plans in place. So again, we just go back to what we mentioned a few moments ago, moving from a place of just programming the church to a place of prioritizing relationships within the local church. So those will be a few divine urgencies or a few gaps that would really hinder us from relationally connecting this church. I really like the image of God knitting our church into a spiritual community. That's kind of a phrase that just kind of naturally comes from within me. Again, but for me, it provides a good image, a good picture to see. God wants to form and he wants to knit our churches into spiritual communities. And so these are some of the hindering factors that these divine urgencies that if left not addressed, you're going to be very hard pressed to find this church being knit into a spiritual community. So, Bruce, those are some divine urgencies. What about, are there any kind of components or pieces that would help us to identify the forming of small groups and relational connectedness in the church?
There are, and I'll talk about a few of those. But, you know, Charles, I want to go back to something you said that I think is important, and it definitely creates a hunger in me to see more of a relationally connected church, and that is that climate of the church body that moves. You talked about the presence of conflict in churches. Conflict's going to be in every church. Mm-hmm. Conflict's going to come during times of peace. It's going to come in times of just kind of a sanguine, everything's going great. There's always conflict.
Yeah.
But it's the attitude with which people deal with conflict. And so when you have a strong relationally connected church, one thing that sounds like is that it's like oil in the machine. It softens responses. It tempers people's initial outbursts. And because the relational value is so high, and that doesn't mean we stop being confrontive. It doesn't mean that I hear you talking about that. And it reminds me of something I read. This was Larry Crabb. He shared this. I think it was his book on The Safest Place on Earth. And he talked about the need for small group, not so much small group ministry as much as an approach to small groups where people were connecting relationally in the church. And a lot of themes that we're talking about today. But one thing he said was, it's in that environment where the pressure comes off. Mm. There's that alleviating of, you know, the valve of heightened personal interests and passions, when someone doesn't get their way, it flares up into something ugly. But mm-hmm. you know, when you have strong relational connections, I think you do what the Apostle Paul says. You know, you're making every effort to keep the spirit of unity through the bond of peace. And any comments on that? I just couldn't help but to go there in my mind when you talked about the rigidity that can happen when it's not present.
Yeah, I mean, man, when you said that about it's about the release valve, it taking the pressure off. It's the place where the pressure is relieved. Man, what a great way to describe the reality of a well connected, of a relationally connected church. It's a place that I can come and pressure is lifted through relationships, certainly the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God working through relational connectedness with the church, the pressure is really, so what I keep thinking about, it's like, you know, you get dressed up in a nice suit of clothes, and it's form fitting, and I mean it looks nice, and you're trying to look your best, whether you're going to church or you're going out a night on the town with your spouse or some kind of event, and you've got you're trying to look your best, and that's all great, but oftentimes those kind of garments or those kind of apparel is it can be a bit rigid. It can be a bit restrictive and confining. and so about halfway or sometime at some point in the evening, the thought moves from, man, this looks really nice on me, to the thoughts then go to, I can't wait to get home and I can put on my sweatpants. You know, I can find a pair of pants with an elastic waistband, and I could just the pressure can be released. I can just relax. I can just be comfortable. Hey, listen, if you're tuning in for theological reflection, I'm not the guy to give that to you right now. I'm talking about I'm talking about wearing sweatpants, but it relates. I get it. It makes sense that, man, we live in a church, or we live in a world of image. We live in a world of just putting ourselves out there and projecting. We live in a world of marketing and branding, and all these things about putting that. There's pressure. There's pressure to look a certain way, to talk, to act a certain way, and I'm grateful that God has provided, Jesus has his church, his people, and he's knitting us into a spiritual community, and the churches that will, with urgency and with a priority, that will organize the church through relationships, will provide people a place to come and to be able to take off these restrictive, confining garments and put on a new garment that allows you to relax, that allows you to be yourself, and allows you to enjoy and experience not only the presence of God, but the presence of God's people. And we can find healing. We can find grace. We can find mercy. Anyway, I don't mean to preach a sermon. I better be careful because I'll slip into that real easy. But it's when you said that about it, about the church, it's these relationships, it's a place where the pressure can be released. And to me, that's a picture of the church. That's a picture where we can come in and we can take all the airs off, and we can remove all the facade, and we can just be who God has created us to be, and enjoy his presence, enjoy the people, God's people, and just live and just enjoy just enjoy this life in Christ that he's called us to. So, I don't know if that answered what you said. That it answered the things that are rolling around in my mind. And I'm not encouraging you to wear sweatpants to church either. You know, that's between you and the Lord. So,
maybe to steer the conversation back A little bit. No, everything you shared was great. In fact, you know, the mention of clothing, that's appropriate because you know, we're told to put on a certain clothing, mm-hmm. you know, in the New Testament. Paul says it in Colossians. He says it in Ephesians. You clothe yourself with humility.
Yeah.
You know, put on long suffering and kindness. And those aren't relationship creators, but they are essential to relationships mm-hmm. and the way that you treat other people.
Yeah.
But, you know, thinking back to as a leader, how can you help create that environment? And I think, you know, we talked about the difficulties and, mm-hmm. and when there's no plan to work on that, then I think pastors become frustrated when they think of what's not happening in their church relationally. So, you know, I've thought about what we might call constructs, a way to think about that. Another way of thinking about it are what I call shifts of leadership, those are mental shifts, practical shifts, you know, just as a leader that can help us change our approach and activate those kinds of life-giving relational dynamics in the church. And so the first leadership shift that I thought of was instead of creating a new program, look at how to leverage what's already happening relationally in the church. So we move in from creating to leveraging, where we see that there's already some relational dynamics in place. They've happened organically. They've happened dynamically. And then work at networking those into existing or networking those existing groups into platforms for ministry and specifically in small group habits. A second leadership shift is going from, you know, organizing groups. Again, I've got to create something. I've got to create a new adult class or a series of adult classes. Well, instead of organizing groups, focus on building teams. And we'll talk about these roles a little more today, but we're, you know, those teams that are essential to a small group ministry. And again, it's not just in your Sunday school classes or your, if you have small groups that are meeting offsite, it's not just that. You want to build these teams of three throughout your church, throughout your volunteer groups, throughout your service groups. Begin to build a structure where you have teams of three leaders. One would be a facilitator. Somebody has to be the leader. And so, you know, develop that leader with relational skills and a focus on some of those dynamics that enhance and increase relationship. So that leader needs to be a facilitator. You need to have another team member needs to be that assistant apprentice, someone that can handle the duties and make sure that the leader is not bearing all of that. And then finally, I think this is the linchpin in any small group. You've got to have the hospitality person, the caregiver.
Yeah.
And in a way, you help that leadership team take an approach to ministry that is relational itself. I mean, they're having to work together and share the responsibility together. So that would be a second shift. A third leadership shift is more philosophical, where you're looking to increase accountability, not just simply increase the information in the group. And it goes back to what I was telling about that mentoring program I came up with. It was heavy on curriculum. And I think when we think about making disciples, we think about the material that we present. We think about the book that we're going to read together or the Bible study and the components to that. And honestly, I think it's okay to not put all the creativity into that. Look at increasing accountability in those mm-hmm. groups. You facilitate spiritual growth through those accountable relationships. In fact, adopt the sentiment that we don't just grow people through Bible study. We grow people through relationship.
Yeah.
And that accountability is huge. And then I think maybe a fourth shift, increase group nurture, not just group function. Don't just look at your groups that as having a missional component. Make sure that those groups have a nurturing dynamic. And again, that's going to go back to, having that hospitality person, that care leader as part of that leadership team in that group. But, you know, that it's one thing to have the leader, but that leader needs to be making sure that nurturing communication, the sharing aspect is happening among those group leaders. And, you know, the leadership team can model that. They want to nurture the members of that group by spending quality time with different members of the group outside of the function, outside of what's just happening on a Sunday morning or something during the week. Again, nurturing occurs with that quality time, that reflective dialogue. I think it's important to teach our leaders just some facilitation skills, a way to have conversation that's not just, well, what does Leviticus 24:12 mean? You know, I mean, we want to put in those relational skills that are important. So teaching them to initiate reflective dialogue, helping them engage socially in fellowship, helping them to show interest. Even I don't think it's a bad idea to put some counseling and coaching skills into that leadership team to make sure they know how to invite reflection by asking questions and by listening really well. And so those are some shifts. I would say those are probably four big ones that I think are important to start addressing some of those divine urgencies that you mentioned. Yeah. But Charles, there's some measurements as a leader, a way of gauging what needs to happen to address those divine urgencies. So how about taking us through those?
Sure. You know, I think first of all, we've talked a lot about networking and organizing these small groups or small units in the church. And so as we think about the church as a whole, I think a good target, a good number to work towards would be that we want to arrange relationships into similar departments or districts so that we can network 70% of the people in the church. I think that's a good target to work towards. So again, as we're working through the constructs that you talked to us about, we're wanting to build, formalize maybe even a system whereby 70% of the church is connected. They're networked and they're part of these relational structures that we are organizing the church in. That sounds like a difficult task to undertake, but just, man, think about that. Let yourself dream a little bit. What could the local church you serve and lead? What could it look like? How could your church be transformed? How could that church be strengthened and mobilized? What kind of flexibility and protection could people find in a local church where, you know, seven out of 10 people, where 70% of the people are relationally connected in a church? And so that kind of puts some wind in your sails when you think about when you stop focusing on the task of getting to 70%, begin to focus on, but what if, with God's help, what if we could connect? I mean, ideally we want 100% of the people, but if we could get to 70% of the church is relationally connected, how could that transform the life of your local church? And let that be an inspiration. Let that be some vision and dream that moves you to the place of yes, with urgency and with priority, we're gonna relationally connect 70% of the church in these relational structures and networks.
Charles, so, I just want to say, you know, that number 70%, we're not just talking about a number. We're talking about how you may even flip the climate. of your church from being rigid, difficult, unbending, judgmental. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about a massive shift by getting people connecting outside just the worship service. Mm-hmm. And imagine that. I mean, if I was coaching a pastor and that came up, I would say, what could your church look like mm-hmm. with 70% of your people connected relationally, where they're being cared for, where they're sharing, where they're celebrating? That's a huge shift for that church.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge paradigm shift. It's a new way of thinking. It's a new way of living. It's a new way of relating. And it's a new day and a new season for that local church who is that deeply committed to and that strongly connected relationally. That's the kind of church that truly has an impact, not only on its congregants, but on the community. That kind of church is powerfully demonstrates powerfully the power and the love of God in a community when they're connected relationally. And then I want to say too, I know 70% sounds like a lot, but we're not saying, hey, by next Monday, by the next podcast, you know, you better have 70% of the church connected. Assess and take inventory and identify where you are. Excuse me. And just through small steps, through consistent leadership over time, you're going to get to that place. And as you get there, the church is going to get healthier and healthier. And eventually you're going to take that kind of helicopter view, and you're going to say, look what the Lord has done. Look what God has done in this church. We are a relationally connected body who is working together, who are relating extremely well together. And look at how God's love has transformed this church, and look how God is transforming this community by his love through this church. And so it is, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, but through consistent daily, weekly, monthly leadership and priority, your church that you're called to serve and lead can become relationally connected. Another measurable way, and these are things that directly address those divine urgencies that we talk about. If the urgencies are, this is the negative, this is what's wrong, then these kind of measurable behaviors we're talking about, this is the vaccine, or this is the cure, I guess, that comes in and addresses these gaping holes in the church. So secondly, nurture the network relationships through spiritual accountability and reflective communication. If there's one thing that's true in these relational structures, it's this: it's that sharing attaches individuals to each other within the group. So again, we want to begin to nurture network relationships. We want to build spiritual accountability into these small groups. We're not just gathering. We're not just gathering just to have a good time or just to check a box. This is for the relational growth, but it's for our spiritual growth as well. And so as you're forming up these relational structures, begin to think about how can we build in spiritual accountability into these groups. Is it your board, as you're treating your board as a small group, your worship teams, your ministry groups, as you're forming these into relational structures, how can you build spiritual accountability into these groups? And so you know, let's take a board that a board of directors that a pastor is going to work with. Yes, you're going to make decisions. You're going to do all these things that in regards to how a board functions, but But in that, as pastor, as leader, how can I bring spiritual accountability to this small group? And so if it were me, whatever small group it is that we're leading, I would begin to say, all right, team, all right, board, all right, worship team, all right, whatever group, let's begin to have some private devotions together. Let's take the book of Acts and let's work together as a team and have private devotions. And then when we gather for our next meeting, let's just talk about what the Lord has been doing and saying in our lives. And so it doesn't have to be formalized, but there's some accountability there. There's some spiritual accountability that brings us to a place of growth and maturity. Third, measurable behavior, I guess, would be this. We want to grow relational accountability in family-like environments. Things like acceptance, safety, protection, and belonging provide deep satisfaction. So, again, as you're forming up these relational structures, you want people to find family and friendship, those kind of relationships. That's what you want people to find. That's the atmosphere. That's what you want people to be able to access and engage in these relational structures. So, when we have a celebration, if it's a birthday, it's a special occasion, our family gathers. And for our family, it's usually a meal around the table. And so we all gather there and we enjoy a meal. And at some point, the conversation usually turns to milestone moments or memories in the history of our family. My children get to hear the stories of their grandparents when they were children and get to hear stories about people that they'd never met. And so it's around this dinner table that our family is formed and these relational bonds are formed and connected. And so for my kids who never had the opportunity to meet my grandparents, we're helping them build a relationship with people they've never met, but who are still part of the family. We're connecting them through story, through our being together around a table. We're building a family. We're building friendship. And so, that's the environment that you want to build. So now when we gather for a family time, we understand this is what we're going to find around the table. We're going to find a good meal, but we're also going to find conversation that connects us together and strengthens the bonds of our family dynamic. And my youngest daughter, she is a strong advocate for eating together as a family. She lets us know, hey, mom and dad, it's been a while, we've got to get the family together. And she's going to advocate that. She's going to push for that because she's learned to understand and love the dynamic of family relationship. So she's never going to let us get too far away from that. So, that's a long explanation to say in your small groups, you want to build relational accountability. And people find that in family life and in friendship type of environment. So as you're building your leaders, your teams of three, your hospitality person is so critical with providing environments of acceptance, safety, protection, a place where I can belong. And if you can do that, people are going to be deeply satisfied with the relational activity that's taking place. So a few, two or three kind of measurable behaviors we can begin to put into place that overcomes these difficulties and these hurdles that keeps our churches disconnected. So Bruce, I've run out of words. I don't have anything else. I feel like Forrest Gump. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, and Forrest would share it after just these incredibly powerful stories of these little chapters of his life that you're like, wait a minute, go back and you got to tell me more. That Charles, how I feel it, you know, when I hear you talk about small groups, I know the impact they've had on me, and I know some of your story too. And yeah. Believe me, there's nothing worth fighting for more in the church than helping your church connect better. I'm reminded that, you know, as we lay out our podcast schedule, probably the next thing we'll start talking about are areas of discipleship and spiritual formation. Mm-hmm. And I would just say this, pastor, leader, don't initiate a discipleship program in your church without first doing the work of building the relational dynamics for those groups. I mean, don't put a curriculum together. Don't order curriculum until you've trained people in your congregation to relate better. Take those teams of three and look at that as the essential factor in getting more of your church involved in some kind of small group, networked relationship group. Yeah. Charles, would you concur with that?
Man, that is gold. If that's all that was said on this episode today, that statement you just made, that will take a pastor in a church light years into the future and being effective in developing relational connectedness in the church. Thank God for curriculums. They're powerful, and there's some great wisdom that comes and great instruction. But apart from relationships, there's no sustainable impact that comes just from words on a page. It is the relational component. It is a relational connectedness of the church that like you've already said, Bruce, it oils the gears and greases the wheels, and it's what allows the relationships give the curriculum a medium through it that can be absorbed into the life of the individual and the life of the church. And so, man, that's leader, pastor. I would go back. I would find the time that Bruce started making that statement. I would record that and write it, and I would live by that. That was powerful.
Hmm. Well, we're so glad that you joined us today on the Five Gifts podcast. Always remember to like, follow, subscribe, share. Please share with your friends and other colleagues in ministry and leadership. You can reach Charles and I at our respective websites. Charles is can be found at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. Charles has a fantastic program and approach to help not only people in the church, but also leaders in the community, business. And he can put together a customized program for you to help you grow and reach the next step, the next level in your ventures. You can reach out to me at coachingcardia.com. I have a coaching services that I make available, a specifically focus on spiritual life coaching as well as leadership coaching. But I'm also available to work with your team. We could host a mastermind group together, and your team would benefit from that greatly. We'll see you next week on the Five Gifts podcast. Until then, be blessed and continue walking with the Lord.
Man, God bless.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.